Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, the Gospel of Luke was written for educated and therefore usually wealthy people, constantly reminding those who read it or heard it to be generous, never to be greedy, and to reach out to the needy. Not simply the poor, because the needy can be in all classes, economic classes. And to reach out to the needy, people like Zacchaeus. This morning I want to make three points, and then to invite Dr. Gallipo to come forward and express his own invitation to the experience that's being provided here at the cathedral. First of all, a little playfully, I confess, I want to invite you to listen very carefully to the readings and to this particular gospel, because the text says, and to be attentive to what the text says and what it doesn't say, because the text says that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but couldn't because of the crowd, because he was short in stature. And of course, my question is, who was short in stature? Everybody assumes that it was Zacchaeus, little Zacchaeus, who couldn't see with the crowd. But as a matter of fact, it could have been Jesus who was short in stature, and the crowd surrounding him prevented Zacchaeus to see him, so he had to climb a tree. Maybe that's the fullness of the incarnation. I don't know. At any rate, that's the first point, playful. My second point is a little more subtle, but I think it's profound. A little more hidden in the translation from the Greek, but I think it's important. Zacchaeus then came down from the tree, and he said, "Half my possessions I will give to the poor." And he said, "If I have ever extorted anything, I shall repay it fourfold." You heard that a moment ago. It's a conversion story. Zacchaeus, suddenly confronted by the mystery of this person, takes a second look at his life and changes everything. But here's the subtle part. The Greek says, "Half my possessions I do give to the poor." Not "I will give," "I do give." And moreover, the Greek says, "If I have extorted anything, I pay it back fourfold." My point is that it's not then a conversion statement so much as a strong indication of a faithful life of generosity and justice. And therefore, it's also lifting up the possibility that it isn't just Pharisees, good as they are, you know from all the things I say about Pharisees, good as they are, it's not just about Pharisees who are faithful to God's will, that there are all kinds of different kinds of responses to God's will in such a way that, the beauty and the wonder of the human creation is also there. And that means that the gospel is not simply a conversion story, but an invitation to respect diversity. Within the context of our Catholic tradition, well, we've got Dominicans and Franciscans and Jesuits and Benedictines and all kinds of ways of living out the wonder of life in Christ. But in the larger ecumenical world, we also got Lutherans and Episcopalians and Baptists and Methodists, all those different groups, each of which have some little portion or some grand portion of the mystery of God, because God is bigger than anything we can possibly imagine. So this, here we are, each of us absolutely unique and invited by the opportunity here at the cathedral this today and these next few days to take a close look at our own baptized, anointed, Eucharistically fed life in the Catholic sacramental tradition. and to enjoy its richness and to recognize that it is part of God's wonderful gifts to each and all of us. And in that context then, and in the context of Zacchaeus, who says, well, there are all kinds of different ways, but they're all profoundly rooted in Christ. In that context, I want to invite Dr. Please come forward, Jerry.
Thank you, Bishop Skilba. Good morning. When I going to tell you a little bit about me and then a little invitation to the mission. I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts. Grew up in a large Catholic family there. After high school, thought God might be calling me to the priesthood. And so I entered the diocesan seminary in Boston and spent 8 years there, which is just about as long as it takes to become a priest. But toward the end of my seminary training, had kind of a change of heart. So I was not ordained a priest, but I earned the Master of Divinity degree, and I've been a church musician my whole life. So I moved into liturgy and music ministry. So I moved from Boston to Florida, where I was director of liturgy and music at a couple of large parishes in the Orlando Diocese. And it was at that time that I got heavily involved with the RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, which is where I really got on fire about what the potential is for us Catholics, particularly cradle Catholics, for what baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist really mean in our lives. And from Florida, I moved to Chicago. I wanted to go back to school, so I was director of liturgy and music in a parish in Schaumburg, Illinois, and enrolled at Catholic Theological Union, where I earned a doctorate in liturgical studies in 1999, and it was then that my ministry moved into Catholic publishing. Now I'm vice president and chief publishing officer at World Library Publications, which is a large Catholic music and liturgy publisher. I practice my Catholic faith at Old St. Pat's in downtown Chicago, where I live. When I think about a parish mission, I think about being a little kid and my parents bringing the six of us to a parish mission, and they would have us sit in the front row, and it was usually a very tall, very large redemptorist priest who would preach for an entire week. And he would talk a lot about sin and punishment. And I remember just being kind of frightened watching this giant priest in front of us. Well, you fast forward 45 or 50 years now, and here I am presenting a parish mission in an archdiocesan cathedral in the Midwest. I'm not ordained. I'm a lay Catholic, a baptized person just like you. And I'm going to be talking during the mission sessions from my own Catholic experience and my own conversion stories like Zacchaeus. And the core of what I'm going to be talking about is really picked up from that second reading that you proclaimed so beautifully. Brothers and sisters, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose. During these sessions, we'll be talking about the core of our Catholic belief, the core of our Catholic identity. Namely, what does it mean to be someone who's baptized, confirmed, and comes to the table of the Eucharist weekly or perhaps daily? I'd like to invite us to think about who we are as a sacramental people and whose we are. I travel frequently throughout North America, and I meet lots of Catholics, and I find it so interesting when I talk about baptism. Recently, an 86-year-old woman came up to me after we had a session on baptism, and she said, Jerry, in my entire life, I never once really stopped to think about what it means to be a baptized person. And she thanked me. And at 86, she said, I feel so renewed, and I just want to go forward with my faith renewed. And I meet a lot of young adults who are dedicated to service. They're dedicated to their own mission to help others. And they're looking for ways to connect that mission to the church. And several years ago, I was on the RCIA team of a parish that I lived in Chicago, St. James. And we had a young, very brilliant engineering student who was in our RCIA process, and he was preparing for baptism. And on Easter Saturday morning, or Holy Saturday morning, he was going to be baptized that night. I pulled him aside, and I said, Brendan, When you wake up tomorrow, you're going to look at the world very differently. And he said, really, why? And I said, because tonight, when you're baptized, we're going to sing an acclamation. And the words are, you have put on Christ, in him you have been baptized. And Brendan, from that moment on, because you have put on Christ, you will begin to see the world with the eyes of Christ. And when you do that, you begin noticing and seeing things you've never noticed and never seen before. Things will look so different to you that it'll call forth a different kind of response from your mind and your heart. And he just kind of looked at me quizzically and off he went. A few weeks later, he came up to me after Mass and he said, Jerry, remember a little conversation we had on Holy Saturday? I said, yeah, Brendan, what's going on? He said, well, I just wanted you to know, I think it's starting to happen. I think it's starting to happen. Seeing with the eyes of Christ, knowing who we are as baptized people. When you think of the term parish mission, I'd invite you to realize what a parish mission is intended to do. My hope is that these few sessions will make a real difference in our lives together, and that the mission part of it is a renewed sense of mission in your own life, in your marriages, your families, your workplaces, the way you conduct business, in your neighborhoods and among your friends. So I invite you to consider coming. The cathedral has made great plans for this. Two sessions, Monday, repeated Monday evening, Tuesday morning, repeated Tuesday evening. I do quite a bit of these missions, and I have to say I've never presented a mission in a parish that provides food for everyone. So you're very blessed to be parishioners here at the cathedral. They're providing a light lunch on Monday and Tuesday and a simple supper on Monday and Tuesday evening. So I invite you to please come, hopefully be fed spiritually, and I know that you'll be fed physically. So thanks for your kind attention this morning.